Warning. Warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome to the Wednesday political party. How you doing, my little buddy?
Awesome, Crudy. Happy hump day to you. Evan, our fair audience. Glad to be back after a day off. Thank you, former U.S. Attorney James Santel, stepping up, stepping in, and doing us proud yesterday. We appreciate it.
Did he leave cannolis?
It's a little hot.
No, he took the cannolis.
He took the cannolis.
Dominic, I want to start today for those that missed the big J6 hearing yesterday, and we played it on the Devil Radio and the Shaw, but I missed a lot of it. I'm playing a little under the weather today. Had a little surgical procedure. Nothing too extreme. But
The hair plants look great, dude.
I got the old Joe Biden plugs. No, that's not the case. I'm bald and I'm sexy. What can I say? Minor procedure, but I was under general anesthetic. And I missed the J6 hearing in real time, Dom. Watched a lot of the coverage after the fact. But you know what I wanted to talk about, at least starting of the day? You know, the party before the coup.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? The evening of, what was it, December 18th, 2020?
The house party.
Oh, it was a party, Dom, and we've thrown some parties, but this was a little unhinged, as it says here in the headline. Rosalind Helderlin and Josh Dossi at the Washington Post, and they talk specifically about this December 18th meeting. It went on for hours, and it preceded the come to D.C. on January 6th.
The call to arms, the will be wild. Yeah, the call to arms.
Well, that party, that tweet went off. That was like a booty call, Dom. That went out at 1:42 a.m., right?
Yeah.
But the party had preceded that. And we've all, you know, had those late night.
I think that's just a general rule is probably shouldn't be tweeting at, 1:30 in the morning. I'm just saying, maybe thumb it out, sleep on it, get up, read it again, and then maybe tweet it out. But, that's a rational person's perspective, not Trumpsters.
Let me jump in. Late on a Friday night, about 6 weeks after Donald Trump lost his reelection.
Allegedly.
A fist fight nearly broke out in the White House between the president's fired national security advisor and a top White House aide. Fisticuffs, reportedly.
And you're fired? What are you doing back in the office, man?
Well, Dominic, a motley crew of unofficial Trump advisors had talked their way into the Oval Office and an audience with the President of the United States to argue the election had been stolen by shadowy foreign figures, perhaps remotely, via Nest thermostats.
Perhaps. Maybe.
For hours, the group tried to persuade Trump to take extraordinary, potentially illegal action to ignore the election results and try to stay in power. And for hours, some of Trump's actual White House advisors tried to persuade him that those ideas were, in the words of one lawyer who participated, freaking nuts. They're nuts, these ideas. They're nuts. There was shouting, insults, and profanity. Sounds like our show. Former White House lawyer Eric Hirschman testified to the House committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Hirschman said he nearly came to blows with Michael Flynn. Nearly came to blows, Dom, a former national security advisor who was part of Trump's group of impromptu visitors. Flynn screamed at me that I was a quitter in everything. At a certain point, I'd had it with him, Hirschman recalled in the taped testimony that played at Tuesday's hearing. So I yelled back, either come over or sit your effing ass back down. Got to be careful what the effing ass is around here. Even for a White House known for its unconventional chaos.
Unconventional, yeah, that's a nice way.
I love the thought. Even for the White House known for its unconventional chaos, the December 18, 2020 meeting was an extraordinary moment, demonstrating how Trump invited fringe players advocating radical action into his inner sanctum as he stretched for a way to remain in office despite losing an election. The West Wing was unhinged, declared Cassidy Hutchinson, a top aide to Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows. We're all familiar with Cassidy Hutchinson now. The rolling hours-long shouting match was absurd, said Rep. Jimmy Raskin, a committee member. But nevertheless, the night was critical, he argued, since it provided a forum for Trump to watch as his own advisor shot down one by one the false theories to which he had been clinging in hopes of staying in office. So he knew none of this really made sense, didn't he, Dom?
Crudy, he was told over and over and over and over again. Raskin said, quote, President Trump got to watch up close for several hours as his White House counsel and other White House lawyers destroyed the baseless factual claims and ridiculous legal arguments being offered by Mike Flynn and others. As the Post writes, still, Trump was not dissuaded. The wild session, during which Trump weighed seizing voting machines from key counties, deploying the National Guard to potentially rerun the election, or appointing lawyer Sidney Powell as special counsel to investigate the
election. The Kraken, release the Kraken, Dom!
Had been widely reported in past accounts of Trump's final weeks in office. But the committee, in its seventh public hearing on Tuesday, brought forward powerful and vivid personal testimony from six different participants, both those who wanted the president to act and those begging him not to do so, weaving them together in a video montage that intercut voices from both sides. It took place 4 days after the Electoral College met and confirming the popular vote in key states formally elected Joe Biden as its next president. The committee showed clips of testimony demonstrating that Trump was told by everyone from Mitch McConnell to William Barr to Secretary of Labor Eugene Scalia, a lawyer and son of deceased conservative Supreme Court justice, that there was no longer a legal path for him to remain in office and that it was time to concede.
Legal schmeagle, Dom.
Yet somehow the delegation that included Flynn and Powell prevailed on a junior staffer to escort them into one of the country's most secure facilities, where the group met for a time with Trump alone before any White House staffer even realized they were in the building. Testifying to the committee via remote video, wearing oversized glasses and an animal print top, and sipping periodically from a can of Diet Dr. Pepper, Powell, who had filed several unsuccessful lawsuits challenging the election, Riley explained that Trump's aides came running when they realized what was happening. I bet Pat Cipollone set a new land speed record, she said, referring to the White House counsel. Yeah, when crazy ass like you are in the room, I bet he was concerned about it. For his part, alone,
Tiger Queen print shirt,
you know, and sucking on the Dr. Pepper. Cipollone testified that he got a call that he needed to be in the Oval Office and rushed into the room. There he spotted Flynn and Powell and another man he did not recognize. I walked in. I looked at him. I said, who are you? Cipollone said in one of a number of clips played by the committee of testimony given by him last week after months of negotiations. And apparently, Curdy, we're going to hear more from former White House counsel next week. The man that he did not recognize, Patrick Byrne, former chief executive of the discount furniture outlet Overstock.com. What is it with these people? Who was helping to organize and fund Powell and Flynn's efforts? Cipollone told the committee that he was chagrined. Quote, I don't think any of these people were providing the president with good advice, and so I didn't understand how they had gotten in. He was joined by other White House aides, including Hirschman and Staff Secretary Derek Lyons, and their group listened as Flynn, Powell, Byrne, and another lawyer working with Powell named Emily Newman assured Trump that the election had been stolen. Meadows arrived eventually. Trump at times called other campaign aides and placed them on speakerphone. At one point, General Flynn took out a diagram that supposedly...
Was it a Venn diagram?
Showed IP
like
addresses.
Like Scott Walker style?
All over the world. And who was communicating with whom via the machines, and some comment about like Nest thermostats being hooked up to the internet, Hirschman recalled. The group recommended that Trump sign an executive order. They had brought a draft. Hey, all you got, we wrote it up for you, man. We did your homework. All we need is your John Hancock. That would appoint Powell as special counsel and instruct the Defense Department to seize voting machines, testimony showed. But according to Cipollone, the group was unable to answer one key, just one key question from Trump's White House advisors. "We were pushing back and asking one simple question as a general matter. Where is the evidence?" he recounted. According to Cipollone, Powell and others reacted with anger, suggesting that even asking the question was a sign that Trump's White House team was insufficiently loyal to him. The committee emphasized the point by then showing a clip of Powell. "If it had been me sitting in his chair, I would have fired all of them that night and had them escorted from the building," she testified. All parties agreed that the meeting was heated. There's much more to this, but I just want to offer one little quote from Powell in her filing, as, of course, she's being sued by Dominion, as one of many people being sued. In her filing, in her defense, she wrote, Powell wrote, according to ABC News, that no reasonable person would have believed her theories were truly statements of fact.
Well, that's no. any defamation defense, though, right?
Right.
I mean, when you're trying to save yourself $1.6 billion, I mean, you know, you will differently characterize your earlier arguments.
Well, perhaps. And that's, again, this is a court filing. This is her official position as it pertains to the court, as it pertains to the law. This is her statement. This is her position. But even after the testimony, the taped testimony from her yesterday, she's still out there right now saying, oh, you know, they didn't ask the questions. They're too concerned about me chugging on the Dr. Pepper and ignoring all the other evidence. I mean, you have only stated yourself that no reasonable person would believe you to the court, but to everybody else, well, you have all the evidence, don't you?
Release the Kraken, Dom. A little bit more. Sidney Powell was screaming at the president that they were trying to undermine him the whole time. Said another person, who added that much of the meeting revolved around the discussion of voting machines and Powell's promise that if she could seize the machines, she could prove her theories. A third person told the Post that Cipollone had his jacket on, going to dinner. He thought he was going there for a few minutes, and he was there for many hours. It was Lyons' last day as a White House official, and he planned to go to dinner with friends, but was unexpectedly delayed in the Oval Office. Shouting could be heard from down the hall. Hirschman testified that the screaming got completely out there. It's been a long day, and what they were proposing, I thought was nuts. Come back, Devil's Advocates. It's a whopper of a Wednesday edition. Join us. The phone lines are open. 844-967-2789.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Doctor.
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 Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy hump day to us all. Join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, this story at the White House, December 18th, 2020, preceding the tweet, you know, show up at the big party, January 6th, it will be wild, Trump's tweet. One of his last tweets, quite frankly, right? Lost his Twitter on January 6th. But anyways, Dom, took my younger son out for dinner last night. Didn't know what to eat. And I'd had tacos on Monday, so I couldn't do Taco Tuesday. So I went down to the local place in Middleton where they have specials each and every night. And I didn't know what the Tuesday special was, so we get there and it's spaghetti. Had a pass on the spaghetti. Didn't feel like, you know, I was in a spaghetti and meatballs kind of mood, Dom. But maybe if they'd have been serving me Swedish meatballs like they were serving at the big political party at the White House on December 18th, Dom, did you hear about the meatballs? Let me tell you about the meatballs.
I did not hear about the Swedish meatballs.
The committee, again, the reporting at the Washington Post, the committee then immediately played a video of Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, who had made his way to the White House that night. Oh, it ain't a party unless Rudy's at the party. Made his way to the White House that night and joined the meeting already in progress. Wonder where he was before the meeting.
Happy hour?
Seated jacketless in a leather armchair and speaking in gravelly tones. Is that how you say Rudy's probably hammered? Giuliani explained to the committee that he told Trump's closest advisors that day, "I'm going to categorically describe it as, you guys are not tough enough, or maybe to put it another way, you're a bunch of, let's just say, wussies.
Without the W.
Yes. At some point, the meeting migrated to the yellow oval room in the White House residence where Trump served the group Swedish meatballs. Trump served them? Come on. Someone served them, but it wasn't Trump. Byrne, the young person apparently, last day at the job, Byrne was nonstop housing meatballs. He ate so many meatballs. One person familiar with the gathering told the Post, there the fighting continued. They're fighting.
Man, Byrne's the overstock dude.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Overstock,
you think he can afford his own meatballs?
Well, you would think, but hey, if they're free, they're for me, and I'll take three.
Dominic, by the end, after midnight, Powell testified that she believed that Trump had agreed to name her special counsel and extend her top secret clearance. Well, if Jared and Ivanka qualified, why not the Kraken?
Right, exactly. Giving them away like candy.
Cipollone declined to explain to the committee what Trump said in the meeting, but insisted no paperwork was ever filed to complete the appointment. Nothing in writing, right? Regardless, Lyons said Trump came away convinced that outsiders were working to keep him in office as he desired. The meeting ended as it had started, Lyons testified. Here's the quote. Sidney Powell was fighting. Mike Flynn was fighting. They were looking for avenues that would enable it would result in President Trump remaining President Trump for a second term. At 12:11 a.m., with apparent relief, Cassidy Hutchinson texted Anthony Ornato, then Deputy Chief of Staff, that Powell, Flynn, and Giuliani had left the building.
Elvis has left the building.
She expressed amazement that Byrne, the former Overstock CEO, had been with the group. Dream team, she wrote.
No leftovers for you, Cassidy.
She then sent someone a photograph she had just taken of her boss, Trump's chief of staff, escorting Giuliani from the building to make sure he didn't wander back to the mansion. The White House
escorting aides, or holding up and carrying?
I've only seen the photo, Dom.
Hard to tell.
The White House aides might have been relieved to bring the meeting to a close, but at 1:42 a.m., Trump made clear which side the debate had won his heart. Statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election, he tweeted. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. Will be wild. Oh, it was wild. He delivered, Dom.
The call to arms was answered. And some, I think, very riveting testimony yesterday. The former spokesman for the Oath Keepers and one of the some random who just happened to get, you know, answered the call.
Got caught up
and went there. And when asked why he eventually left the January 6th coup attempt, he said it's because Trump told us to. Trump sent up that tweet after 187 minutes when Trump did a 187 on this country. He decided he and who the people he were with left almost immediately. And I think that goes to the point that if Trump were to have acted as a true commander in chief, as someone who truly cared about this country and about, hell, even his own supporters or, you know, backing the badge and the Capitol Police and all those folks, if he would have truly cared, he'd have done that a whole lot sooner.
He didn't. He never truly cared. Of course, we now know that. We always knew that. We always sensed that of the man. While there's still time, Evan, before we sneak off to break here, let's play a couple of Liz Cheney from yesterday's live hearing. Now, I didn't hear it live, but I'm going to hear it now. Liz Cheney, lots of people told Trump he'd lost. Cut one.
Virtually everyone close to President Trump, his Justice Department officials, his White House advisors, his White House counsel, his campaign, all told him the 2020 election was not stolen.
Yeah, but that's not what he wanted to hear, Dominic. Right. So he kind of played petulant toddler. Cut two.
President Trump is a 76-year-old man. He is not an impressionable child. Just like everyone else in our country, he is responsible for his own actions and his own choices.
How about one more from Liz Cheney? Got a new adoration for her. Cut number three.
No rational or sane man in his position could disregard that information and reach the opposite conclusion.
Well,
and Donald Trump cannot escape responsibility by being willfully blind. Nor can any argument of any kind excuse President Trump's behavior during the violent attack on January 6th.
They're not really mincing words, are they?
Well, and, you know, the Republicans and Trump's defenders are floating out there, and this is some response from Rep. Liz Cheney, to that, well, you know, perhaps he was just, you know, given bad advice. You know, it was bad counsel. I mean, and I wasn't a big, you know, what was Trump's reality TV show, The Apprentice? My understanding is that he liked to have people battle back and forth in front of him. Well, that's what he did. You want a reality TV show star as your president, then you get reality TV government.
Yeah, but his legal team, I think, was headed up by Gary Busey. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The Wednesday edition. Be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Always keeping it copacetic around here. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. Guess who's coming back to Wisconsin, Dom?
I know Trump is planning to come back to Wisconsin on the insurrection coup tour, but apparently he had to cancel the one for Friday because he has to give testimony. And so I know he's supposed to be in Wisconsin. Do you have the dates on there?
Is August 20th.
August. Okay. So
they've announced the date. Big fundraiser.
It's
an expensive fundraiser. If you'd like to attend, get your checkbook out.
Although you can go to
the overflow room for like $9. You can go and watch Trump on a TV in a room near where Trump's, you know, raising the big dollars from the, you know, the actual people he likes, those with bigger checks than you have to offer. But a little bit of the reporting here, Dom. Donald Trump will visit Milwaukee in August for an event that charges attendees. You know, it's not a free event. Thousands of dollars to take pictures with the former president or participate in a private roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
Will the crackhead lady the White be House? There? Yeah. Will there be Diet Dr. Peppers for everyone? The August 20th event, a stop and a roadshow called the American Freedom Tour will feature Trump, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I thought he was running for president. Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., and conservative election conspiracy theorist Dinesh D'Souza. The cost to attend ranges from $195 to purchase a wristband. You get a wristband. I guess that gets you in the door. To more than $3,995 to have close access to Trump. According to the event website, the prices could increase after July 15th, according to organizers. They could increase them.
I mean, it's like the Comic-Con of political fools, man. This is really Milwaukee's coming to Milwaukee. And I wonder if it is literally Milwaukee, Wisconsin proper, or if it's one of the surrounding communities that are
Waukesha, perhaps. Right. Came to Waukesha and claimed Milwaukee once upon a time. The former president's visit will come a week after the August 9th primary election when Tim Michaels, Trump's favored candidate for governor, although I bet he'd be happy with Ram Jam as well, will compete against his Republican opponents in order to advance to the general against Democratic incumbent Governor Tony Evers. You think Tim Michaels will be writing Trump a check? You think Michaels promised him, hey, if I win the primary, I'll write you a check? You got to show up, though. You got to come.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know what the deal with the devil is in these regards.
Trump last visited Wisconsin in the last days of his reelection bid in 2020, stopping in Kenosha as part of his plan to close out the campaign with rallies in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, three Great Lake states. He won in 16. Less so this time around, right, Dom?
Well, not if you ask him.
Since then, Trump has continued to claim without evidence that his loss was a result of widespread voter fraud that was concentrated in Milwaukee.
Of course. Yeah. Milwaukee, Madison. I question if he'll show up. You know, he didn't show up. He's not going to show up on Friday. And my understanding, that's what they said about Friday, dude. That's what they said about Friday. I mean, do you realize what's happening? Do you see this evidence of what's going on, man? Next week, the J6 committee is going to hold their primetime hearing, right? And they're going to focus during that hearing on what he was doing when he was 187 in this country. What was Trump doing while this riot unfolded, while the coup was was attempted. What was Trump actually doing? It's getting worse for him day by day by day. So to say that we know what, I mean, as of Monday, Trump was going to this rally on Friday. Buddy, to say what Trump's going to be doing at the end of August, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And if he does show up, I certainly hope, and maybe we should be a part of organizing some, you know, First Amendment protests against the insurrectionist bastard coming to our city, our state, and trying to tell me and you that our votes didn't count. I got a big problem with people like that coming in our backyard, man.
Well, they're not going to give you direct access unless you bring $3,995. Then you can talk some trash. You met the man. You should see
him. I don't need to pay Trump to talk trash, dude. We're doing that right now. And if he comes to this town, I hope, and I will encourage everybody who has a problem with insurrectionist coup bastards to show up and protest that we don't want those people here. And I hope Milwaukee will have the good sense to not accept the GOP, the Republican convention for 2024.
You done?
You want Oath Keepers and Proud Boys marching down the street, man? Is that what you
want? Oh, man, we were in Cleveland. The only loser we saw in Cleveland other than Westboro
Alex
Baptist
Jones.
People, Alex Jones. You see the latest on Alex Jones? We'll get there. I'll save that for a minute longer. But I have every confidence that Donald Trump will be in Wisconsin August 20th. I mean, the only campaign rally I've ever seen him cancel was the one that directly conflicted with the depositions he has on Friday. And he still wanted to do the rally. It wasn't until he figured out he couldn't get out of depositions that he canceled the rally. He'll be here in August. He'll be in Wisconsin because there's money. There's money when he gets here. And if there's one thing Donald Trump shows up to do, it's cash a check. 844-967-2789. You have a similar attitude that regards Sylvia.
Hey, you sound like that's a bad thing.
Chris from Poinette. Welcome, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hey guys, great show. Hey, remember in the beginning, Trump campaigned on draining the swamp?
Yes, he did.
I think he's probably going to do that.
Drain the swamp? Define what you mean, Chris.
All of the people that are guilty of all the things that he has done and all the things that he has, or all the things that they covered up, and all the things that they didn't speak up about.
They were, all the swampy creatures were attracted to Trump like warts, and now they're all going down together? Is that
like flies on a fly strip, Chris?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, when you think of it from that perspective, maybe it was a masterful stroke of counterintuitiveness.
Well, now you're going somewhere that we don't need to go, but you get the gist.
I do, Chris. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, man. 844-96.
I thought that's exactly where we needed to go next. Instead, I guess we'll go to Alex Jones and his ex-wife. Apparently, she's still a little bitter. Let me tell you the newest about Alex Jones. Alex Jones's former wife offers January 6th committee relevant insider info, in her own words, after Tuesday's hearing. Do tell more. Oh, I will. From The Raw Story, one of our favorite sources. House after House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection completed their Tuesday nationally televised hearing. The former wife of InfoWars founder Alex Jones took to Twitter and alerted the committee that she can help with their investigation on the uprising. On Tuesday, the committee worked on establishing the links between Donald Trump's December 19th tweet stating, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild." And the far-right militia groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers who participated in the attack. InfoWars Jones was also featured prominently in the hearing, shown promoting the rally that preceded the Capitol riot. Apparently, Trump opened up the Oval Office doors so he could hear the sounds on January 5th. He'd been quite depressed up until then, but suddenly he was invigorated by the sounds of treason outside the door.
You know, it's kind of a weird play on crowds, man. I love crowds. That's why I go to Summerfest and see concerts and hang out and party. I love the crowds, but the crowds I like are really more full of love and joy and laughter versus insurrection, murder, and white national Christian fascism.
Did you hear any chance of Hang Mike Pence at Summerfest this year?
No, not one.
How about Let's Go Brandon?
No, none of those either.
That appears to have inspired, back to the Raw story coverage of Alex Jones's ex, that appears to have inspired Jones's ex-wife, Kelly Jones, to take to Twitter to get the committee's attention late Tuesday over a video clip of her ex-husband exhorting a crowd to violence. And I did listen to it. And, you know, he's basically saying, we're going to go get them in their bunkers. She tweeted, I am hashtag Alex Jones, ex-wife, and I lost my kids for exposing InfoWars, even while he was under subsequent federal investigation. I have insider info that I believe is relevant to the hashtag January 6th committee hearings. Please share. And you can see her tweet below. Here is the other part of it. Alex Jones threatens, they want to fight. They better believe we'll bring one. Here's my ex inciting anger, chanting 1776 and saying they will be in their GD bunkers when we come for them. They will be destroyed.
Yeah, listen, how many 7076 chants did the J6 committee play yesterday from all sorts of different sources, all sorts of different people?
Well, isn't that the very language that Marjorie Taylor Greene used, right?
Or was it both?
It's our 1776. Yeah, no, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, when they were trying to keep her off the ballot, that was one of the tweets they asked her about, and she forgot, and then she remembered,
if I recall.
Because my memory gets fuzzy a little bit. You know, yesterday's anesthesia and all that kind of stuff, Dom. But I played the video. I listened to the sound. I'm not going to share it with you. It's not worthy of sharing, audience. But he comes off like a WWE character, Dom.
Like Alex Jones, professional wrestling, like hyped up.
Like a wrestling hyped up villain. You know what I mean? That's what he, even the vernacular, the voice, all of it's very showman, kabuki theater stuff. But obviously to a certain, you know, population of the sheeple in this country, let's call them the MAGA hat wearers, that was very appealing. They got very hyped and it was wild. It was wild.
It was wild. Well, I guess, Crudy, as we're on the topic of swamp creatures, I guess Chris brought that up. I'd like to read another one here from CNBC. Former Trump White House aide Steve Bannon again has asked a federal judge to delay his upcoming trial on criminal contempt charges.
How can he get a fair trial with the J6 hearings going on, Dom?
This time citing repeated references to some of his past comments during a hearing Tuesday of the House Select Committee. Bannon's lawyers also said in a court filing Wednesday that the defense just learned today that CNN will air a one-hour documentary on Bannon on Sunday evening, the day before his trial for contempt of Congress is set to begin in Washington, D.C. Defense attorneys said that both events create the very serious risk of prejudice here against Bannon among jurors to be selected for his trial on charges of willfully refusing to comply with subpoenas issued by the J6 committee. There is nothing magic about July 18th, the trial scheduled start date, that can possibly justify the risk to Mr. Bannon's fundamental constitutional rights to a fair trial. The lawyers wrote to Judge Carl Nichols. They asked the judge to postpone the trial till after October 15th. Now, the same judge on Monday, 2 days ago, rejected a prior bid by Bannon to postpone the contempt trial by 3 months after his lawyers argued the media coverage of the House hearings would harm his right to a fair trial. You know what I mean? Really? No, you can't do it. Oh, we're going to ask again. No, you can't do it. Now, we'll see. Back to CNBC, Nichols that same day also said Bannon could not argue at his trial that he failed to comply with the subpoena on the grounds of executive privilege. The judge's ruling effectively gutted much of Bannon's potential defense and led one of his lawyers to complain, as we mentioned earlier. What's the point of going to trial if there's no defense? So they went Monday to the judge and said, hey, all this publicity from the J6, you know, it's really bad for our client. We want to postpone. No. And then they presented what? The same exact argument to the judge again on Wednesday because they had another hearing. So I'm hopeful the judge will say no, because nothing really has changed.
You know who else asked for a new trial? Amber Heard. Judge also said no. Now, Dominic, I wanted to point out John Bolton. John Bolton went on a little CNN interview, quite proud of himself. He was somewhat critical of the former president of the United States. And I'd like to come back and talk about that next. But you can join us, 844-967-2789. And what I find ironic about the the interview, let's just say, it was sort of a Lester Holt-like interview. Remember when Trump went on with Lester Holt and, you know, confessed effectively to firing Comey to take the pressure off of the Russia thing?
Right.
Well, you know, John Bolton went on CNN and basically confessed to planning coup d'etats and said, what Donald Trump, you know, not a nearly enough planning. I can tell you how we planned coups prior, right. And he didn't do enough planning. Well, that's something of a confession, John. You put it in the book, more devils. We'll be right back.
Insane and irresponsible.
Explain that, because my voters don't get it.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us at 844-967-2789.
Dom, you think what Donald Trump did? You think that was a coup d'etat? Let me tell you. I know a little something about coup d'etats. I planned a few coup d'etats. You, sir, that was not a coup d'etat. Well, John Bolton thought that that was somehow wise to say in public on a media outlet like CNN. Let me read a little bit from the reporting at the Washington Post. When a former White House national security advisor and U.S. ambassador to the United Nations says he was involved in planning coups abroad, the world takes notice. John Bolton, speaking to Jake Tapper live on CNN's The Lead Tuesday afternoon, said that the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol was not a carefully planned coup d'etat, and that he would know. Here's his direct quote, Dom. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etats, not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work, and that's not what Donald Trump did. Bolton, who served as the top national security official in the Trump administration for 17 months before a bitter exit in 19, told Jake Tapper, it was a passing reference, apparently meant as a stinging criticism of the former president, rather than a bombshell admission of responsibility. But clips of the remarks went viral online, drawing millions of views from all corners. Within hours, they had sparked official condemnation and unofficial speculation from foreign observers, especially in parts of the world where decades of U.S. intervention remain fresh memories. Evo Morales, the former president of Bolivia, who was ousted from office in 19 by the military amid murky election claims, tweeted Wednesday that the remarks showed that the United States was the worst enemy of democracy in life. Maria Zakharova, the spokesperson for the Russian Foreign Affairs Ministry, called on Thursday for an international investigation into Bolton's response. Man, when the Russians are calling you out.
Right.
It is important to know in which other countries the United States planned coup d'etats. Zakharova told Radio Sputnik. Was Bolton serious? Though some in the United States had their doubts, far-flung rivals suggest this was just further confirmation of what they already knew. There is no surprise. Chinese Foreign Minister spokesperson Wang Wenbin said at a daily news conference on Thursday, the admission simply shows that interfering in other countries' internal affairs and overthrowing their governments have become the standard practice of the U.S. government. This is very much part of the U.S. rule book. So now we're being called up by the Chinese and the Russians.
I can't wait to hear what North Korea has to say.
Bolton did not specify what coups he had been involved in planning, if any, during the interview. When Tapper pressed him, he pointed to the unsuccessful attempt to overthrow Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro in 19, but added the United States did not have all that much to do with it. That was a strange example. For one thing, Bolton had said the attempt to oust Maduro was clearly not a coup in 2019. So he kind of, what, contradicted his earlier lies?
Right, both of those statements cannot possibly be true.
Now, Maduro's government has accused the United States of helping promote the political instability in Venezuela, and Maduro did not offer a response after Bolton's comments Tuesday, but Samuel Moncada, Venezuela's permanent representative to the United Nations, jumped on Twitter to respond that Bolton was correct. Kuz did take a lot of work. For this reason, he also failed with his local agents in Venezuela. And some international affairs experts say Bolton's comments could be a setback for well-intentioned U.S. policies. It's damaging to our efforts to advance and support democracy, according to Stanford University Hoover Institute scholar Larry Diamond. We have enough trouble already countering Russia and Chinese propaganda. Bolton could not be reached for immediate comment.
Well, Crudy, I do have some comments from Bolton in this regard from the Mediaite.com from 2 o'clock this afternoon. We said already, let's see here. Let's jump in here. I do have to ask you also your comment yesterday on CNN about coups and orchestrating them. It's getting a lot of play, you know. What would you like to say to that? Obviously, the U.S. is a world superpower. And were you surprised that some of the pickup there was about, you know, your talk? Obviously, you've written about Venezuela a lot in your book, asked a Newsmax anchor of Bolton on Wednesday. Here's Bolton's reply. Well, I think there are a lot of snowflakes out there that don't understand what you need to do to protect the United States, responded Bolton in his typically defiant fashion. He goes on, Crudy, I'm not going to get into specifics. I did write about Venezuela in my memoir, and I think that any president that's not willing to do what it takes to protect the interests of the American people, it needs to have some counseling, Bolton concluded.
You do that voodoo, that kudu so well. I mean, there are several other nations there now. Yeah, even Erdogan, even the Turkish are wondering. Well, you know, he wasn't in the government at the time, but he was verbally saying, you know, I don't like Erdogan. Well, you know, which coups was he behind on?
Well, and which coups are acceptable? And this whole position of putting, you know, of undermining other countries and, you know, engaging in their local politics because of, quote unquote, U.S. interests, you know, really, I really have to wonder what specific interests, because you can't, I mean, for the U.S. to rule the world and own everything and all the oil fields and all the gold and all the minerals and all that, I mean, that would certainly be in U.S. interest, right? But, of course, that's not in humanity's interest.
Humanity, shamanity. America first, baby. In 2008, an interview with Al Jazeera, he, being John Bolton, said coups can sometimes be a necessary way to advance American interest, and defended the 1953 overthrow of the democratically elected leader of Iran, orchestrated by the Central Intelligence Agency. I think the U.S. should have that capability, Bolton said, referring to Iran and North Korea as two areas that the United States should have focus on toppling hostile regimes. Little Rocket Man? Come on. He was sending love letters.
I mean, you know, the whole shah of Iran. I mean, so during the overthrow, what do? If you're going to orchestrate a coup like that, and you can look at history, and it is really one of the terrible things, because what happens, you got to have someone's going to play ball, right? And usually those types of folks are corrupted to the core. Who else would deal with a foreign government to overthrow their own country's government? Look at some of the pictures of Iran and their citizenry and how they're dressed and their actions and their culture back prior to the Shah being instilled, which led to the Iranian Revolution, of course, and the hostage crisis. I mean, it doesn't end just because the Earth goes around the sun a few times. These things have residual and long-lasting impacts, and we are literally still dealing with those decisions today.
Milton Bearden, a former CIA station chief, said Bolton never touched a coup. And anyone who thinks fomenting coups is a good idea just doesn't get out enough.
Saw it on the internet.
Come back with us. Hour two, there could be a coup. I hear there. Gotcha.
Well, if you work really hard at it. It takes a lot of effort and planning.
Advocates.
It's over. Nothing matters anymore.